Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks. Molly and Kim.
Hey, welcome to the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Monson. I'm Kim Monson.
And I'm Molly Vogt.
And we hope you are having a wonderful Wednesday. If you are stuck in traffic, you are lucky because we have a great show planned for you.
That's kind of a stretch just to say that you're lucky to be stuck in traffic, but I like your enthusiasm, Kimmy.
And I was also going to mention, if you're not stuck in traffic, you might want to just pull over and listen to the whole show because it's going to be a really, really good one. But Molly, we are Sleuths for Truth. We are educating, inspiring, and engaging by dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. And we are lobbyists for the little guy. And we're in election season. We have Jan Kuhlman in studio with us. And Jan, we actually had her to come in and talk about innovation in oil and gas. But she is also running for re-election for Thornton City Council. She's a city councilwoman up there and has done a really super job. And so, Jan, it is really exciting to have you here with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is exciting to be back.
Yeah, great. But before we get to this, Molly, there's a lot on our radar, but the biggie is it looks like the DNC and Hillary Clinton and maybe Obama are in some hot water.
Hey, the emperor has no clothes, and the curtain has just been pulled back that was covering up the great Oz, and we are about to see the truth, finally. The reason we do this show is because we are searching for truth, and we are looking at issues. It's not right versus left. It is right versus wrong. And, you know, for too long, we the people have been held to these standards where, you know, we've got to follow the law, we got to follow the regulations, we have to, you know, do everything we have to do to make sure that the politicians, the bureaucrats, the agencies are happy with what we're doing so that we don't get in trouble. But it seems like the kings and queens of our country, which we aren't supposed to have in America, so I say it tongue in cheek, but that they are above the law. And for so long, it seems like Hillary Clinton has been getting away with what she has been doing. And I am just so thankful to see in the news right now that our Congress is actually going to at least start to do an investigation into what's happened in the past with her.
Yes. You know, what has happened, if you don't know, is there's been all of this conversation about Donald Trump and the Russians. As it turns out, you may remember a dossier that was released a number of months ago, and it was very damning towards Donald Trump. And Donald Trump came out and said that there's no truth to that. It's not based on anything. And it looks like that is the case. The guy that wrote the dossier is a former British intelligence agent, and they were hired. It's called what? Fusion
GPS hired him.
Right. And they came out and it looks like they probably fabricated this whole dossier. And guess who paid for it, Molly? I know you know.
Hillary Clinton's campaign and the DNC with campaign funds. And Kimmy, do you know how much of the money that they spent on that particular dossier investigation and information they told everybody about that they were transparent about?
A lot.
Zero. They spent a lot of money, but they didn't report it. And as we all know, those funny campaign laws, you know, it's supposed to protect the people. We want to know, you know, what money did you raise and where did you spend it so that we can keep our eyes on it, because government wants to know everything. And that's one of the rules, election law, which means everybody must be held accountable by these laws. And Hillary Clinton's campaign did not disclose that they spent this money on this large investigation. It started in April 2016. So President Trump wasn't President Trump yet. The election hadn't even been completed. It hadn't even happened yet. Why in the world all of a sudden were they investigating Trump and Russia at that point? And why do they spend so much money?
Well, and, you know, I found it really interesting in one of the debates, Molly, I heard Hillary Clinton say something about Donald Trump and the Russians. And I kind of tweaked my ears. I'm like, huh, that is interesting. But I think that they possibly were laying the groundwork for this big fabrication. And this big fabrication has ruined people's lives. And there is something just really unvirtuous, immoral, wrong about doing that. But politics is tough business. But I like the kind of politics where you battle out ideas versus this fabrication of lies and things.
Totally. Me too. And I can't find the number right now, but it was, you know,
a lot,
tens of millions more or more, right, that they spent on this. Now, so this, let's continue with the Russian theme with Hillary Clinton, shall
okay.
we? All
okay.
right. So now remember Hillary Clinton, when she was Secretary of State, that her agency or, you know, her group was one of many that sat on the panel, the federal agencies, the CFIUS. And that panel decides when foreign groups are allowed to invest in the United States. Okay. And they decided that, yes, they were going to sell 20% of our uranium to Russia. And so...
And then at the same time, didn't the Clinton Foundation get a big donation?
$2.35 million was an individual that was involved in that transaction, gave the Clinton Foundation $2.35 million. That wasn't reported. And remember, when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, there was an agreement between the Clintons and the White House that they would, in order to, you know, make sure there was no conflict of interest, that the Clinton Foundation would let the White House know where their donations were coming from and for what. And obviously that was skipped there, too. Not a lot of transparency and a lot of money changing hands there.
Right. Now, Molly, on the campaign finance laws, I've always thought that these campaign finance laws actually would constrict freedom of speech and that it really isn't the government's business who donates to campaigns or who contributes to campaigns. But I've also thought that the people that put these rules in place are the ones that don't follow them. And this is just this case in point right now.
Well, they put together rules for everybody else. Everybody else has to abide by them except for me, just like Obamacare, right? Or, the health care laws. Let's say the PPACA. Congress passes this law, but they carve themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every law that the bureaucrats and the politicians pass, why do they carve themselves out? Why are they above the law? Remember, this is America, and I'm going to say it again. There are no kings here. No one is above the law, right?
Right.
Okay. So we talked about the amount of, you know, the fact that the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC was giving money to campaign to pay for this dossier to be created. And they did not tell about that. So now there's been a complaint filed with the FEC. That's one. Now, there's also two other congressional investigations that were just announced yesterday against the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton. One is that 2010 uranium deal.
Okay.
The other is the FBI's handling of the former Secretary of State's emails. Remember, there all of those Hillary Clinton emails, and I believe she was using a private server in a group right here in Colorado.
Right, it was in a bathroom or a closet
bathroom
here
in Colorado. Yeah. And the fact that she said that there were no classified emails there obviously was not true, and that has been proven. And we worry a lot about security, and there's so many so many countries out there that want access to America's information, and not only our Social Security and our credit cards and all that kind of stuff, but our defense information and our national security information. And who but the Secretary of State would have really interesting information that should be classified?
Well, what this really means is two things. That this whole big spider web proves that they don't care about the American people, first of all. And secondly, all of this also shows that it has put the American people at risk.
Right.
And that's why elections matter.
Yeah.
Big time. So, as you know, I'm watching this and working on this Douglas County School Board race big time. And something very interesting has happened is the Denver Post has endorsed the Elevate slate of Randy Mills, Ryan Abrish, Deb Scheffel, and Grant Nelson. Molly, get up.
I cannot believe that.
Yeah, I know.
What?
It's because of all of this teachers union money coming in from Washington, D.C. And then the Colorado Springs Gazette, which, you know, I'm grateful for and would expect, but they have also endorsed them. So I think that is speaks really well. And I think what you're seeing is people are standing up and saying, we want to maintain our local control of our school boards. instead of having big interest groups coming in and starting to try to fund the opposition. And I think we're actually going to have an example of that. Jan Kuhlman, we'll get to you in the second segment, but it looks like there may be some money coming in against you in this city council race up in Thornton.
Yeah, it looks like some outside group is starting to fund some campaign efforts against me, actually.
Were you a little surprised?
I was shocked. I had never heard of this group. I had no idea they existed. I don't even know what their point is other than to keep me from getting reelected.
And I think that the progressive left, this example that we're talking about, what has happened with Hillary Clinton and the DNC, we've kind of seeded, Jan, I think that these very important local races, city council, school boards, county commissioners, as hardworking Americans, we've kind of thought that our elected leaders were, you know, thought about the American idea for each of us. And as we've kind of woken up, we've seen that that may not be the case. And that's why these races are so important. I'm not sure that liberty-loving people really understand how important your race is.
Well, and it's not only that, is how do you get people to run for office when you've got outside forces that are coming out against you, attacking you personally, attacking your character, when they don't even know who you are? So we've got really good people, and I hope I'm one of those, that I work really hard and I have the best interests of my city at heart. And here's a group that I know nothing about coming out against me.
Boy, Molly, this is quite a time we here in America right now. So.
It sure is. And you got to follow the money. And I love what you said. We need to be able to talk to people that are running for office and find out, what are their principles? What do you stand for? And does that align with me or not? That way I vote based on that rather than what somebody else tells me to do.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment. And since these loans are government insured, limited closing fees. Active duty military, reserves, National Guard, retired military, and surviving spouses may qualify. Give Kim Sturtz or Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance a call today at 303-888-2732. Or check them out on the AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com. Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516 or visit her online at Karen-Levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you. Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes. Oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
It's time. October is here, and the scary features are hitting the screen. Please join the historic 88 Drive-In Theater and be sure to bring someone to hold on to for their upcoming triple features. Admission at 88 Drive-In Theater is only $8 per person, and children under 12 are free. Your admission includes all features. Stay for one or all three. New fall box office hours are 6 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 6:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday. To stay up to date on movie showings and times, go to 88drivein.net and like the 88 Drive-In on Facebook. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, 88drivein.net. Check it out. And the movies right now playing are Blade Runner 2049, Flatliners, and American Made. So go check them out. And you can get more information always on 88drivein.net, also on their Facebook page as well. And if you join them for their Halloween programs and come in a costume, you get a treat.
Maybe some funnel cake.
Yeah.
Or maybe I don't know for sure, but I just... throwing
well,
that out
and
there.
Their funnel cakes, they've got a fifth topping now, Fluffer Nutter Funnel Cake. And so it's a mixture of marshmallow cream and peanut butter topping.
I'll just have the sauce.
To get your sugar on. Go check out the 88 Drive-In. Yum.
Okay. So I love it. But let's move over to our program for the day.
Okay.
We have Jan Kuhlman in studio with us. She's with Noble Energy. She's a senior engineer advisor. Is that right?
That's right.
And you are also on Thornton City Council. Thank you for your service on that.
Thank you. It's one of those things that we all have in our heart to give back to our city, and that's one way I've been able to do it.
Well, we appreciate your mom. I mean, an entrepreneur, the whole works. We really want to build the show today around innovation in oil and gas, but want to give you an opportunity. As you came in, I could tell that something was on your mind, and you said you were just a bit shocked that there has been some outside money that has come in to kind of try to smear you and thwart your reelection.
Yeah, it was a little shocking. This afternoon, I was just checking some campaign finance to make sure that my report had been posted appropriately. And I noticed there was another report posted for a group I'd never heard of. And I clicked on it to see what it was. And it said it was set up to oppose Jan Kuhlman.
Really? So it was just recently set up?
Yes.
And do you know who the principals are? Does it show that?
They're not in the state, actually.
Really?
And I can't remember the top of my head right now which state it was, but I was shocked because it wasn't Colorado. Because that was my first thing, is who would set up a system like this, and can I talk to them? Because that's the first thing I think of, is can I talk to someone if they have a concern or a question? But I'd never heard of this person, and they weren't even in our state to be able to do it.
Wow. And how much did they put in?
Almost $7,000.
That's a lot for a city council race.
Yes, it is.
Wow. And this came in just within the last few days?
It came in today.
Wow.
And you said you noticed that it's out of state. Do you know where it came from?
I'm not sure. We could look it up real quick, but it is not Colorado.
Okay, let me do that quick. Like, so you just tell me how to do that very quickly, and I'll do it.
Cityofthornton.net.
City of... You guys keep talking.
Okay, and so this is a good show for Eyes on the Process, because we like to tell people how they can do their own research as well.
Definitely.
Because you want a researcher candidate. You want to know who's running and what do they actually believe in. Because, you know, when you get to these campaigns, you've got the campaign managers and the different groups that they come up with their talking points, and they say one thing that they think you want to hear, and it's the same at the federal level, the state level, everywhere you go. You know, shiny and new, we're going to pass the health care law and everybody's going to keep their doctor and their rates are going to go down. And then what happens 2 years
just
later,
kidding.
Everybody's like, that hurt. So this is how to check on city council stuff.
So I'm there at the City of Thornton official website. So where do I go?
So you go to government and city clerk.
Okay.
That's the other thing, is that our websites are always so hard to navigate on the government side. It's almost impossible to find this information unless you really know how to look for it.
This is true. So I'm to government and I don't see city clerk over here. So
it should be in a drop down menu.
Okay. I'll keep going.
This is the Americhix doing Eyes on the Process.
Yes. As we speak, I'm going to find it. I am going to find it.
Okay.
And it should be under elections.
Okay. Okay.
And then on the far right hand side are all of the different campaign contributions. So each candidate has to file a finance report.
Okay.
And then each issues group has to file a report. So you'll see things in there like the firefighters have filed a report because they have an issue on the ballot this year. And so they talk about how they raise money through their PAC and their union to pay for support for that.
Okay. Now, do I go over here to city council candidates? Is that where it's at?
I don't think it's in candidates.
Okay. Here. I'm going to give her my computer.
Okay. Well, we'll be looking that up. So this is the Americhix, Molly and Kim, and we're talking with Jan Kuhlman. She's a city council member in Thornton, and she's running for reelection. And she's seen that there's some outside money that's coming out against her. And then
she's got some
really terrible stickers that have been stuck on her sign. I just think it's bad that you vandalize somebody else's property. You know, she has signs. It takes money to take these signs. And, you know, you work hard to run for reelection. So, Jan, really quick, tell us why you're running for re-election. I mean, what do you stand for versus the next guy or gal that's running for office?
Well, my big platform is actually pro-business. I want to make sure Thornton is the thriving community that has lots of options for retail, lots of options for shopping, for things for our residents to be able to see and do and stay in Thornton. We're a bedroom community right now, and 90% of our residents actually commute outside of the city to go to work. So we've had a big push the last couple of years while I've been on council to bring primary employment into the city, because we want people to be able to live, work, and play in the same place. We're the sixth largest city in Colorado, so it's time we start acting like it. So my big focus has been on infrastructure. And as an engineer, it's really easy for me to understand construction processes and know that as you grow as a city, you have to keep up with your infrastructure to make sure people can get in and out of the city appropriately. And that's really what my focus has been on.
I'm still over here trying to find this, you guys. So. Was this Citizens for a Safe and Healthy Thornton?
That was it.
Okay. It's an,
and then when it was posted today, October 25th.
Okay, because it was conditionally accepted on the 17th. So let me get out of this. And you too can do this. So,
all right, so we're going to keep talking, or did you find it?
I found it. Here we go. So today's open and allow, and here we go. Okay. It says the name and address of the vendor receiving payments called Mission Control, Inc., Building 3, Suite 200 in Glastonbury, Connecticut. Interesting. And the amount of the expenditure is $6,974.96. Okay, so while we're talking here, I am going to check out Mission Control in Glastonbury, Connecticut. Let's see what we can find out there.
Well, it's interesting. Why would Connecticut want to have anything to do with Colorado?
Yeah, I would say, why don't they keep their money in Connecticut? So,
well, this is an ad group. So Mission Control says they produce creative, persuasive, targeted direct mail that helps our campaigns and clients win.
So
and
great. I can expect some attack mailers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're not going to be getting any sleep right now. Okay, so let's finish up on this, Jan. So what this means, listeners, is that Jan can really use your help. And one of the things, I mean, for like the price of a cup of coffee or a pizza, just anything will help. So tell them what your website is and you know, please help out.
Yeah, my website is www.jankulmann.com. And on there, you can find my platform. You can find what I've done the last 4 years on the city council. And you can find a nice link on the side to PayPal to donate, because that's what I need to be able to fight this, is more money.
Righto. And one of the things that you had found on these signs was, and Molly had posted this on Facebook, is
on the AmeriChicks Facebook. And I'm posting your website now, too.
Yeah. Is that it says paid for by oil and gas. So the implication is they are trying to say that you are paid for by big business.
They sure are.
And
well,
that's
and if you look at my finances, I actually only have 2 campaign donations from industry. The rest of the donations are from friends of mine who happen to work in the industry because I work in the industry. And most of the donations are actually from me.
Okay.
So, I'd say most, 36% of our donations are from me personally.
So you're stepping up the plate with your own money.
Yes, because I believe in it that much.
Thank you very much for doing that. And the thing, I want to talk just a little bit about oil and gas. You're not being paid for by oil and gas. But B, oil and gas, fossil fuels, make our lives better.
Definitely.
And, you know, whether or not it is the tires on the bicycle that somebody is driving or riding, or the helmet that, you know, they may have on their head, you know, for rock climbing or whatever. I mean, it's across the spectrum. Your cell phones. Many of these products are based with petroleum products, right, Jan?
Definitely. You know, an interesting thing is we have a nice miserable cold front coming through this evening, and I'm going to be really excited to turn on my gas fireplace tomorrow morning to warm up. And then when I turn my car on to be able to drive into work in my nice heated car to keep myself out of the snow, potentially, you know, that's all brought to us from oil and gas.
Right. So oil and gas, I really think, has gotten a bad rap because it really powers our lives. This implication that is going, and we know there's going to be some attack stuff coming out. So, you know, I think it's really important that people help you out. So anything else you guys want to say on this particular issue? And again, what is your website?
My website is www.jankulmann.com.
Okay, thanks.
And you can find that link right now on the AmeriChicks Facebook page as well. So let's talk a little bit about innovation in oil and gas, Jan. So you are a senior engineering advisor with Noble Energy, and I had the opportunity to hear you speak one time, and you were telling some pretty cool stories about innovation and what the oil and gas industry was doing to help people even in other countries. So let's start with that. Do you want to start with water treatment technologies maybe a little bit?
Well, I think water treatment is something that everybody understands. We all drink water.
We all drink water. We
life
want it clean.
Is water. And we are very lucky to live in a country that has access to clean drinking water all the time. A lot of countries don't have access. And even some countries that did, like Puerto Rico, they don't have it right now.
Yeah.
And so having the ability to have new technology brought into these countries to help them have clean drinking water is really important for their survival. And one of my friends works at an industry. He's partnered with water4.org. They're a nonprofit group that helps third world countries find clean drinking water. Because there's water everywhere, but if it's not safe to drink, then it doesn't matter how much there is.
Yeah.
But in the oil and gas industry, we treat water all the time. We find ways to use it because we use water that is not usable for any other purpose other than to frack a well. But at the end of the day, we need to do something with it. We may need to make it safe so that we can reinject it into the earth. And we're not going to reinject chemicals because we live and breathe the same air that everybody else does. So what this group, my friend, found was that they could create this technology that would take water in third world countries and figure out a way to make it clean, usable, and drinkable for countries that don't have access otherwise.
I love it.
I do too.
I love it. And so is that already happening right now? Does his company need some help to fund this, to get people to get,
you know,
this
I think
going?
They're in the early stages right okay. now. I know they have a trip planned actually to Africa in January. Water4.org is the website.
Okay.
It is the nonprofit they're partnering with to find this solution. And I'm sure in the near future, they'll be ready to go public with this and start talking about it to get the funding to be able to help these countries.
Awesome. You know, energy, we take it for granted, you know, all the time. And clean drinking water.
I know we do.
We take that for granted too. I was on a cruise ship a few years ago and you're like, obviously you're not going to drink the water coming out of the faucet there. You're going to buy, but they're really, really expensive to buy the bottled water there. Of course, they don't let you bring your own because they want you to buy it. But you're like, man, clean water is so important. But anyway, we're going to go to break. When we come back, I wanted to ask you, Jan, about the Broomfield oil and gas deal. There was a big fight last night that just took place up at the city council, I believe, right? It was about a 7.5-hour ordeal with testimonies for and against. And in the long run, what happened is the council made a deal with Extraction Oil and Gas Inc. They said, we will allow you to come in and do what you're going to do, even though they couldn't really limit them because the state makes those decisions rather than the city. But we'll talk about all that after the break. But they made an agreement that if Extraction would use quieter, state-of-the-art drilling equipment and use pipelines to cut down on truck traffic and on storage and stuff like that, then they would be okay. That was something they could do. And I'm assuming that it must have taken some innovation to get to the point where they do have quieter, state-of-the-art drilling. I'm sure it wasn't always so quiet. And to get to the point where they said, oh, let's use a pipeline instead of truck traffic.
Dude, I need help. How can I perfect my golf swing and keep my promise to put in a whole new kitchen by next month?
No worries. Call Rafe and Colin at Harmony Ridge Construction. They've been doing this for 40 years all over the globe. Trust me, they'll make you look like a genius, and you'll have more time to perfect that golf swing. You really need to work on that.
Great. I'll give Harmony Ridge Construction a call today. What's their number?
720-660-0265. Or visit them online at harmonyridgeconstruction.com. They're best for any small fix or large remodel. They'll help you out.
Guy Whidden, 101st Airborne, landed Normandy in the dark on D-Day 1944, was knocked out on the jump, woke up, a gun to his head. What happened next? If you love the AmeriChicks World War II project on Fridays and know a World War II vet, we'd love to share their story. We're in a race against time to gather as many stories as possible and as quickly as possible to preserve them for all future generations. So if you know a World War II vet or have that great World War II story to share, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment. And since these loans are government insured, limited closing fees. Active duty military, reserves, National Guard, retired military, and surviving spouses may qualify. Give Kim Sturtz or Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance a call today at 303-888-2732. Or check them out on the AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com. Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
Are you concerned, perplexed about the events happening in America today? Where can you go for answers? Check out the Centennial Institute at Colorado Christian University. The Centennial Institute sponsors research, events, and publications so that you can understand the most important issues facing our state and nation. By proclaiming truth, they foster faith, family, and freedom, teach citizenship, and renew the spirit of 1776. Check out their website at ccu.edu to read their latest publications and find a schedule of upcoming events. That's ccu.edu.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChick Show with Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. I'm Molly.
And I'm Kim.
And we're having a good conversation about energy and innovation in energy and how it really is so helpful to everybody on this planet, not only the wealthy, but the rest of us too, right? So, but before we get back to that, I wanted to talk a little bit about EvanYourITGuy.com. They are a sponsor and a partner of ours, and so we love what they're doing because they're helping small businesses. As you know, as a small business owner, when you first start out, you don't have a lot of money to spend on an IT department or anything like that. And so this is a group that you can go to that will do a lot to help you with your IT needs, and you don't have to hire somebody and keep them in-house and keep them on contract at all times for things that you're not going to use. You just call them when you need them, and it's a declining scale on the rate. So that's awesome with Evan, your IT guy, first of all. But another thing I wanted to mention, you know, Kimmy, I have been so concerned over just really security issues lately.
I know you have been.
You know I have been. Well, one, I've heard that people can drive by and log into your computer and they can watch you through your camera. And I don't like that. So we cover up the camera with our Evan, your IT guy. Cool cover. But also, you know, if somebody gets into your computer, well, okay, let's say you've got a problem with your computer and you can't get it fixed and you don't have a neighbor like Kimmy's. So you take it to one of those stores downtown. You go to a little computer shop, you give it to them. Now you leave it with them. So A, your computer's out of your hands, right? So you can't use it till you get it back. B, somebody else has your computer. They have your password. They have access to everything on your computer. Is that really safe?
Not a good idea.
I think not. And apparently 90% of IT problems can be handled remotely. So I love the fact that also another thing just to keep your information private and secure is that if you call Evan, your IT guy, with any problems on your computer, hardware, software, whatever it is, they can help you over the phone. You can watch what they're doing and it's all recorded.
I like it.
Saving me money and keeping me safe and keeping my information safe. So check out your EvanYourITGuy.com.
Very cool.
Now, Kimmy, have you seen the new Wonder Woman movie?
I have not.
Yeah. Well, I think that the most recent one that's about to come up, because I'm creating it, is going to star Jan Coleman with Noble Energy.
Okay? I agree.
Okay. So this gal, check her out. Check out her website as well, jancoleman.com, and you can see it on the AmeriChicks Facebook page right now as well. She's a senior engineering advisor with Noble Energy. She's been a licensed engineer. She's been 18 years technical engineering experience, so she's really, really smarty girl. But you know what? She's a mother of two children, 9 and 12.
Yeah.
9 and 12. And she used to coach the soccer team. She is the president of the school board of the school that they go to. And she's a city councilwoman in Thornton.
She is a woman who clearly cares about her children, her family, her community, and everybody else with your job. I mean, it's just amazing what you're doing, Jan. So it's great to have you here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I forgot to mention she's a wife, so she has a lot of work probably trying to, you know, keep that husband happy too. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so you're doing a lot of things, and thanks for being here. We want to talk about innovation and energy. And so last night, there's an article in the Denver Post. Anybody check it out? Broomfield finally just approved an oil and gas deal after a knockdown, drag out fight last night. And they did it because they agreed to certain innovations that the extraction company was able to come up with. But do you mind, Jan Coleman, just explaining to us what went on in Broomfield and what are the innovations and how are they possible?
Well, and this incident in Broomfield was over a year in the making. This was something that Extraction Oil and Gas wanted to make happen, and they wanted to do it the right way with partnering with the city and the county and the residents. And so they worked with the people in the area to figure out what was most important to them. So, of course, the state can provide the permits, but the oil and gas company can provide the innovation. So they are using super quiet drilling rigs. They are using these new super quiet fracs that you can hear people talking when standing next to them, which is brand new to the industry. They are focusing on pipelines so that they can get the trucks off the road. The number one concern that we hear in the industry from any oil and gas operation is noise and dust. And so they have figured out a way to take that out of the equation and make sure that they're being good neighbors while they're taking out the oil and gas to make sure that we all have reliable and cheap electricity and power.
So, Jan Coleman, you said that this innovation to make drilling and fracking be quiet is brand new. But we have been fracking in America since 1949, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
So how all of a sudden did they come up with this innovation? I mean,
Yeah, the beautiful thing about engineers is we love to tweak. We love to change things and make things better, and we're always doing it. And so every time there's a new situation or a new problem to solve, we actually get really excited, and it's a great opportunity for us to get better. So we do this all the time. Fracking started in 49, but it was a different way of fracking than what we do today. And it revolutionized the oil and gas industry, but we've been able to take that technology and adjust it so that we are constantly improving. And then as the technology changes on our equipment, that's when the surface piece starts to change. So nobody sees what happens underground. All they see is what's above ground. And it's changed so much since 1949. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. And then you also mentioned in this article in the Denver Post about Broomfield approving this oil and gas deal. And this is just in today's Denver Post. This happened last night. So check it out. It said also one of the reasons that Broomfield agreed to allow extraction oil and gas to drill there is because they were going to install pipelines to cut down on truck traffic and on-site storage. So, you know, we've heard a lot of debate back and forth about pipelines. Now, because they're worried, you know, something's going to happen underneath the ground. But I never thought about the fact that a lot of people complain of the eyesore. They don't want to see it. You know, you see windmills all over the place. You see, you know, drills places. You see these things. Obviously, fracking has cut down on that. Not only the impact to the land, because there's only one well needed and you can go in so many different directions to do what you're doing, but also talk about the pipelines. I mean, how are they helpful?
Well, the pipelines themselves move the product under the ground so that the trucks don't have to. So in an old style well, you would have probably 100 truck trips a day moving water and oil and gas away from the site. Once a pipeline goes in, you might have a truck once a month to check on things because you can move the product without having to worry about the trucks. From a municipal standpoint, which is where I work on the city of Thornton, we're concerned about how our roads are impacted. And so the less trucks we can have on the roads, then the less times we have to maintain those roads and repair them. So it benefits the city and the residents just to get those trucks away. The pipelines themselves are actually regulated, and depending on the size of the pipeline determines who regulates it. So it's either the COGCC or the DOT. So the Department of Transportation on the federal level can get involved, and they're very strictly regulated.
Are pipelines always underground?
Yes. Well, no, that's a good question, actually. They can be underground. I've worked in a few places where they're above ground, but they're really ugly. And so then it tends to make people look at them, and when they're not paying attention where they're driving, they might run into them. And so it's actually safer for them to be underground.
Okay. How far underground, what's the norm for a pipeline to go for oil and gas?
It varies on the size. So the very tiny ones, the flow lines that everybody talks about, they can be anywhere between 6 to 10 feet. A large pipeline that is for oil can be 15 to 20 feet.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Now, it seems like I was up in Alaska, and the pipeline from Alaska that goes across Canada, now that is above ground, I think, isn't it?
Parts of it because of the freezing situation. So especially in Canada, if you're trying to make sure your pipe doesn't freeze, you want it to be safer, you can wrap it in insulation and put some heat trace on it, is what we call it. It's like a nice warm blanket that you put around the pipe so it doesn't freeze to make it safer.
Okay.
We don't have to do that in the United States, outside of Alaska.
Yeah, it gets pretty cold up there. This is so creative and innovative. And the ultimate goal is to continue to provide reliable, affordable, and efficient energy for everyday people so that we can go after our hopes and dreams. You know, I typically get up early, Molly, and I like it when I flip the switch and I have electricity, and I like it when I have heat. When it's cold outside, I like it when it's cool, when it's hot outside.
You want your cake and eat it too?
I do.
You probably want to bake it in an oven too. Do you know that takes oil and gas?
It does. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, and
How do you bake a cake over an open fire? Is it possible? It's got to be possible.
Yeah. They called it cornbread or something, I think. Yeah.
They still have cornbread, Kim.
I know. But, you know, think about it. You know, I was thinking about it this morning. You know, back even a generation or so, you'd have to get up, you'd have to boil water, you'd have to, you know, get your wood, you'd have to boil your water, you'd have to, you know, get the house heated up, you'd have to go out and feed the animals. I mean, reliable, efficient, and affordable energy has really made our lives easier and better.
Well, we've gotten rid of outhouses, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I was about to say, too, Jan Coleman. I'm like, well, think about when you go camping. I don't know if you go camping much, Kimmy, but I go camping. And when you go camping and it is cold out, the last thing in the entire world you want to do is get up out of your safe, warm sleeping bag, get out of the tent and go out to go to the restroom outside in the cold.
Oh, wait, but your sleeping bag and your tent were made from oil and gas.
See? But I don't want to go outside to go to the bathroom at night anymore. And it's funny because people are like, oh, we don't need oil and gas. But the truth is they're saying that on phones that came from oil and gas. And, you know,
driving in cars to meetings where they protest.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But so anyway, so the point is just, you know, we want to be obviously responsible stewards of our environment. And God gave us natural resources that we could feed the people. We could protect the people. And health concerns, you know, a healthy community really relies upon energy as well. I mean, think about the poor people down in Florida that died because the hurricane came through and it knocked out their electricity. I mean, this is worth talking about. Stick with us.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516, or visit her online at karen-levine.com and tell her The Americhicks sent you.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing from the Americhicks, Molly and Kim, chances are your future clients do too. Let us help you promote your business and fatten up your wallet. To feature your business on the Americhicks program, email us at americhicks@gmail.com. We feature the most topical news and intriguing guests every weekday during afternoon drive time, 5 to 6 p.m., while you and your clients are enjoying the program on your way home from work. So become a sponsor today by emailing the Americhicks, Molly and Kim, at americhicks@gmail.com. That's the americhicks@gmail.com. Or visit us online at americhicks.com. Today you need to have a great online and social media presence, and the best in the biz is Desi On Demand. The Americhicks, Molly and Kim personally work with Brandon, the founder of Desi On Demand. Desi On Demand is instrumental with our video projects, Chick Chat, Eggs, Exceptional Endeavors, and our World War II project. We most heartily endorse his creativity, innovation, dedication, and integrity. Brandon and his team bring all that to the table. Check out Desi On Demand's website at mydesi.com or call 303-359-1522 for more info, and be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back to the Americhicks Show. Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. I'm Molly.
And I'm Kim.
And we are talking about energy, innovation in energy. You know, we want affordable, reliable, safe energy. And in order to do that, we've got to make sure that we keep innovating in the industry. So we've got Jan Coleman in. She's with Noble Energy. She's actually a senior engineering advisor there. And she wears a lot of different hats. She's a mom. She's the president of the school board. She's on Thornton City Council. She's running again. So please check out her website and give if you can. Maybe just the price of a coffee or a pizza or maybe a car, whatever you want to do. She's got money coming in from out of state against her, which means she's doing something right for the little guy and gal, and big government doesn't like it. And so, you know, follow the money, right? And if it's coming from out of state, it's probably not in our best interest, is it? But I digress. Okay. So real quick, Jan Coleman, I want to talk about safety for the environment and what oil and gas is doing in that area.
Yeah, well, a lot of changes that we've made over the last few years are to protect the environment. Colorado is actually leading right now on air quality and emissions control and making sure that what we used to have back when I was a kid, when you couldn't see downtown Denver as you were driving down I-25 to get to work, now we have beautiful blue skies because we've come so far in how well we're treating our environment. So the oil and gas industry is going a long way to do that, not just in the technology we use, but because using natural gas actually helps reduce emissions. So it's a cleaner burning fuel. But one of the projects that I worked on back when I was first out of college, we had a pipeline project in Louisiana that was going through some wetlands, and we were having trouble getting the wetlands to come back. And whenever you disturb the wetlands, they're very finicky. It's a different ecology, and it's hard to manage it. And so I was tasked to figure out a way to improve the wetlands. So I talked to the Army Corps of Engineers, and they couldn't solve the problem. I talked to the Environmental Engineering Department at Louisiana State University, and they couldn't solve the problem. And then finally, I was having a conversation with a friend who was a duck hunter. And he said, if you can donate some money to the duck hunters, we will build the wetlands. I said, you're crazy. You just want me to give you money so you can go hunt for ducks. And he said, no, really, because they need the wetlands in order for the ducks to come back. And the dogs need something to run on to go get the ducks when they hunt them. And so it actually works out really well. So we got permission from the state and the Army Corps of Engineers to try it on one location to see what would happen. And they had that built in less than 3 months.
Wow.
And it was a beautiful, thriving wetlands. And I used to joke we would know we were finished when the snakes came back. And the third month in there, I walk out there and a snake jumped right out in front of me and I knew we were done.
Wow. That's quite a story. Again, very innovative.
Completely different.
And it shows that you care about our environment, care about our lands. You know, I think that is something that people need to realize is that being good stewards, you know, of the earth doesn't mean that we're all running around in loincloths and, burning, wood.
Not every day.
What it means is that as we create and innovate to improve individuals' lives, we need to be good stewards of the environment to do that. The environment can change in doing that. But then also certainly there's a lot of creativity and innovation to make sure that in this case to take care of the wetlands. I just love that, Jan.
Yeah, and it was a really fun project. And I'm an electrical engineer, so it's completely outside of my scope of experience and comfort, for sure.
Well, and this really goes to the point of which is more innovative? Would it be private enterprise, you know, people that, you know, have a vested interest, or big government? And typically, if you can unleash creativity and innovation, it's the sky is the limit what's going to happen.
Well, no offense, but you just looked on the City of Thornton's website and couldn't find what you were looking for right away. That wasn't probably done by a private group.
Well, it could be operator error.
I want to say
it could be operator error. That is possible when it comes to computers.
Oh, yeah. So real quick, though, Jan, talking about regulations, you know, you came up with that great idea to rebuild the wetlands on your own. What do government regulations do? Are they helping us? Are they hurting us? Do we want more? Do we want less? What should we be voting for and asking for?
Well, and I think people think regulations are safe and they will make them safer. But the reality is the regulations themselves don't do anything. What you need is to have incentives in place to make people want to do the right thing. And you can do that by having more freedom and allowing for creativity. The issue in Broomfield, that project started over a year ago, and it went from 3 well pads to 5, all because Broomfield City Council was looking at options, and they put together a task force to evaluate regulations. I'm not sure what criteria they used for qualifications for the people on the task force, but I'm not sure that any of them were part of industry to understand what could actually be done and what might work. But they went to 5 well pads instead of 3, so already you've increased your footprint. And they moved those new well pads closer to residents in another county. So Broomfield looked out for themselves and did a great job, but they didn't care about the county right next to them. And so now the county next to them is upset because they have to deal with the fallout of what happened in Broomfield, and they got no voice at the table. So here you have a situation where the state has regulations, and now a city and county is trying to put regulations in, but because they only care about themselves, they put regulations in that impacted those around them. So now they're competing. And nobody wins when that happens.
You know, you bring up an interesting point. I sat on city council. And there is, among some politicians and bureaucrats, there is this idea that I am watching out for my community and my community only. So an example would be, as I really looked at, like there was $92 million coming in from the federal government for the Southeast Light Rail Extension. And as I thought about it, I thought, this is a regional project. If this is something that we want to do regionally, then we should vote and pay for it regionally. And across the spectrum, both political parties, people looked at me and said that we should take the money, because if we don't take the money, somebody else will. And I made the case that it's not fair that people in other parts of the country and borrowing from our children and grandchildren to pay for this was really in our best interest. But many people looked at it very narrowly, and they said that this is what's best for our community. But then you realize that if you have elected leaders that look at things like that, if they go up to another office, then that kind of means to me that they might not watch out for me over here, because they might be, you know, working on a specific project or an initiative or something over there that might hurt me.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. Because we've had city council members that go on to be county commissioners or state senators. And that is our number one concern, is when they were on the city council, they understood what our issues were. But when they left the city council, all of a sudden we didn't exist anymore. And they were looking at things from a different lens. And instead of looking at the whole, they only looked at it from the piece that they were concerned about. So yes, that is definitely a big concern of mine. I could very easily in my ward only consider the small section of Thornton that I represent and not worry about the rest of the city. All the growth is happening in my ward. All of the new construction is happening in my ward. I could not care about what's happening in the rest of the city, but I look at it as a whole and say, look at what's happening in the South. The growth in the North is able to fund everything that needs to be improved in the South. But our tax dollars in the South aren't paying for that. The tax dollars in the North are. And then how do we partner with the county? How do we partner with the state? How do we make sure I-25 with all of the different municipalities along that road are working together to make traffic less congested? If I only cared about Thornton's portion of that, I wouldn't get very far.
That raises a question. Is it Thornton that has 55 on I-25 as you go north, or is it a different municipality? Because you can be speeding along at 65, and I know a young kid that got a ticket there.
Is his name Mark?
Yeah.
Munson. Yeah, that probably is Thornton's section during the construction.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Needless to say, we're like, what? So we're just about out of time. Jan Coleman, first of all, thank you for all you do. And Molly had a great line. We were joking that you're Wonder Woman. And then you said your daughter is going as?
As Wonder Woman for Halloween.
And Molly said?
Well, she can tell people, yeah, I'm going as my mom.
Exactly.
I love it.
So Jan Coleman, thank you. Final thoughts. And again, your website.
Website is www.jankulmann.com. And I encourage everyone to vote, because your voice is very important.
And we certainly do as well. And if you can help out by either calling, walking, or financially, Jan could really use some help, because we just saw $7,000 came in from a group that is based out in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And you can rest assured there's probably going to be some hit mailers coming out against Jan here. So she could really use your help. And thank you for stepping up. Vote Jan Coleman for Thornton City Councilwoman.
Thank you. And while you're telling people who to vote for, why don't you tell them your choices for Dougco School Board?
Dougco School Board. That would be the Elevate slate of Randy Mills, Ryan Abrish, Deb Scheffel, and Grant Nelson. Now, if you can't remember that, remember names. So this is their last name. So N is for Nelson, A is for Abrish, M is for Mills, E is for Elevate, and S is for Scheffel. So, and again, these guys have had, I mean, these are just regular citizens. They're just stepping forward to run for office. And there's been over $600,000 coming in from a Washington, D.C. based teachers union.
Yeah.
And because of that, the Denver Post endorsed them, and the Colorado Springs Gazette has endorsed them as well.
Follow the money, honey. If somebody is getting contributions from private individuals who work hard for the money that it's hard enough to spend, that, you know, it's hard enough to save, it's hard enough to afford our everyday life and our kids and our food and our gas and our houses and all that. And if we are willing to actually dig into our pockets and give our money to a candidate, that means that we think that their values align with ours, and that's going to be the best for us. If the money's coming in from big unions, which get their money from people that they actually kind of
extract it from.
Extraction. It's forced. Then that is probably not the best for the individual. That's the best for the bureaucrats or that big group or the politicians that want to keep that money coming in, mm-hmm. rolling in.
You know, while we're talking about it, let's just throw out Jeffco. We would encourage you to vote for Erica Shields and Matt Van Giesen. These are two individuals that came in late to this race. And again, it's been pretty rocking and rolling out in Jeffco, and the fact that these two would step up, we've had them in studio, I certainly would recommend that you vote for them as well out there in Jeffco.
Yeah. Well, the children are our future. And no matter what, whether you have children or not, these kids, when they graduate, they are the next future leaders. And if you're still living, they're going to be deciding all of these things like, you know, regulations, like health care, like taxes and all this other stuff. And we'll be talking about taxes and the economy tomorrow with Jay Davidson. Mm-hmm. But we want to make sure that our kids are educated properly and that they have the right information. And we believe that parents should be able to choose where they send their kids and what kind of education they get. And so that's why you want to vote for the good guys.
You got it. So we're going to leave you with a Ronald Reagan quote that I've never heard. Approximately 80% of our air pollution stems from hydrocarbons released by vegetation. So let's not go overboard in setting and enforcing tough emission standards from man-made sources. That's Ronald Reagan.
All right, this is the AmeriChick signing off. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 5 p.m.